Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was Confirmation Day at Faith Lutheran Church, a congregation somewhere in the Midwest. Each confirmand were to memorize Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 as part of their oral examination before the congregation. One at a time, the pastor asked each confirmand, "What can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ?" And one at a time, each responded in his turn, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ." And then it came Sarah's turn. Sarah was a Down syndrome child, and as she stood before the congregation, everyone was quite nervous as to whether or not she could handle this assignment. The pastor asked, "Sarah, what can separate you from God's love in Jesus Christ?" Sarah smiled. She said, "Nothing." It is said that that congregation remembered her nothing for a long time. Mary's confirmation day came as quite a surprise to her. No time to memorize confirmation verses or recite Bible texts. The pastor asked her, "Mary, what can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ?" I wonder how nervous all of the angels in heaven might have been. I wonder how tense all of the congregation of the saints in heaven were as they awaited Mary's answer. Mary listened carefully as Gabriel outlined what God was about to do and how she was going to be a part of what God was about to do. And for Mary, the whole thing seemed inconceivable, pardon the pun. "How can this be, since a man I have not known?" Gabriel assured her that nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary responded, "Behold, let it be to me according to your word." The whole thing sounds rather far-fetched, I'll grant you that. But what you've got to keep in mind here is that this was the fullness of time. The offspring of the woman, whom God had promised long ago in the beginning, was only now 9 months from sticking his head out into the world. Amy, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I know when you're pregnant, 9 months seems like a long time, but 9 months in the grand sweep of human history is nothing. The time had fully come. The creation was so pregnant that it groaned in anticipation for the long-awaited child to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, and to redeem those under the law. The offspring of the woman was the world's focus of all of its hopes and its dreams ever since God had made the promise to the woman in the garden that her offspring would crush the head of the serpent and make all things new. At the end of a very long list of Israel's mothers stands Mary. She is the true counterpoint to Eve. Eve listened to the serpent and was deceived. Mary listened to the angel and she conceived. Eve's firstborn son killed his own brother. Mary's firstborn son saved all of his brothers and sisters. God gave his promise to Eve and he fulfilled it through Mary. For a time like this, with a message like this, no ordinary angel would do. An archangel was on call to do it. and his name was Gabriel. And the Bible tells us that Gabriel was the commander of legions of angels. And so Luther imagines that Gabriel must have been just a bit perplexed, if not even maybe dumbfounded, when God actually chose him to go to a poor little servant girl, no more than a teenager, who lived in a third-rate village called Nazareth. And yet what greater honor, what greater privilege could an angel ever be given and entrusted with than to take this message and deliver it safely? Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Had it been us, I'm sure we would have responded, and also with you. But Mary did not know what to say. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. People who are in high places and have positions of authority and power are not so intimidated in the presence of greatness. But Mary was just a young girl, timid, humbled. She is greatly troubled. She is more than a little confused by the whole thing. I know that we think that if it were us, we wouldn't be so confused or deeply troubled if an angel named Gabriel were to drop in our living room and speak to us. But Mary, you see, had never read the Gospel of Luke. Mary had never heard the Christmas story before. And so you and I know a whole lot more than Mary did. Do not be afraid, Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. All of the ancient and often repeated promises are all being echoed forward in concentrated form right into Mary's ears. Mary may be young and innocent, but she knows the facts of life. Her mother had taught her about the birds and the bees. And so she asks, how can this be since a man I have not known? Mary, you see, was one of those old-fashioned girls who didn't know a man until he was her husband. Gabriel spells it out for her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Holy Son of God, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary responds exactly as Eve should have. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And with that, Mary became the mother of all living. The mystery of the conception of our Lord is just that. It is a mystery. A mystery is different than a surprise. A surprise is no longer a surprise after it happens. As soon as you've opened the package, as soon as you've walked through the door into the restaurant, the surprise is over. But a mystery remains a mystery even after it happens, even after you know exactly how it's going to go, even though you know how the story goes and you've memorized the text and you can recite it by heart, it's still a profound mystery. Mary was confused, not just that such a thing might happen biologically. She was also amazed that such a thing could possibly happen to her. She was no one special, no one's disciple, no one's deaconess. A saint who would have stood out in the crowds, maybe that would be one you would choose, but she would never have stood out in the communion of saints. Some have a hard time with this, and some want to make Mary someone special, immaculate, sinless, worthy of such an honor. That makes it less of a surprise for Mary than it was. And it also makes it less of a mystery for us than it is. Truth is, there's nothing at all in the scriptures that say any such thing about her. Like I said, it's better to let the mystery remain a mystery. The grace of God that calls a person. The grace of God to call whom he calls. It's a mystery. And when you know that you are one of those whom he has called, and all you need to do to know this is to look to your baptism, where you were indeed called by God. It's an awesome mystery. Listen, as soon as you start examining your own life and your behavior, trying to judge your worthiness, either your pride or your shame ruins the mystery altogether. It's better to let the divine mystery of a virgin who is pregnant by the Holy Spirit remain a divine mystery, an article of faith, and just believe it as Mary did, simply because God's word says so. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. The mystery is awesome. It never gets old. The word of God, who is in the beginning, apart from whom nothing was made that has been made, enters into his creation in the same way every other human being has ever entered into this world. The Son of God is dwelling in a sinful and fallen human being, not because she is worthy, but because he intends to make her worthy. The Son of God assumes our humanity, not because we are worthy, but because he intends to make us worthy and to present us to his Father in heaven as his beloved bride. Today we have had the wonderful opportunity to witness the mystery of the conception of our Lord in the baptism of Evan and Haley. Right here, before our very ears, the power of the Most High overshadowed them through the water and the Word. And the same Son of God, conceived in the Virgin Mary, is now conceived in them. Of course, not as a fetus, but as the crucified Jesus Christ, with all of his wounds and all of his blood shed for their transgressions and yours. And as the risen Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who gives life to our mortal bodies. David wanted to make a house for God to live in, and God said, no, I will live in Evan, and I will live in Haley, and I will live and all of my baptized brothers and sisters, and their bodies shall be my temple. Holy baptism is a profound mystery that is never over. It's a biological mystery. How can this be that the God who fills heaven and earth lives in me? And it's also a very personal mystery. Why me, wretched sinner that I am? We should let Mary be the example for all of us to follow. Let the mystery remain a mystery. Let it be to me according to your word. If you, O Lord, Insist on living in me and making me holy as you are holy. I will not argue with you. I will not resist you. Let it be to me according to your word. Amen.